everybody, and welcome back to Southern Onion. We are so glad to have you. I am Erica.
And I'm Erin.
And we are so happy you are here. And we have an exciting topic today. Well, an aggravating topic today. Edward Wayne Edwards is who we will be talking about. He's known as the gas station killer, also the sweetheart murderer. So we will get into that topic here soon. I hope everyone has had a great week. We are closer to spring, thank goodness. If you like the winter, sorry, it'll be back in a year. But I'm ready for the warmer weather. So, Erin, how has your week been?
Well, my week's been good. I guess the highlight of my week was when I went to the DMV because I had to get a new driver's license.
Yeah.
And so on the door, walking in, it says, you know, no backpacks allowed. And there was a person behind me, and they said to me, you can't have a backpack in here. And I was like, it's not a backpack. It's a sling bag, okay? There is a difference. So,
back off, Karen.
Exactly. I'm not carrying a purse right now because I just don't want to wipe my purse down every time I get home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my hands are free and everything. So, yeah. So that was pretty much the I mean, other than have my picture made, right?
Yeah.
So that's basically my life right now. So I know.
So your highlight's the DMV.
Yeah, I need a hobby, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You need a hobby.
I do. I really do.
Yeah.
Send me your suggestions. I'd like to know.
Yeah, please.
What hobby? Yes.
Yeah. What hobby should Erin get? Let us know.
Yes, let us know. Yes, that would be great. So how was your week, Erica?
It was good. I did a lot of something that I consider a dirty four-letter word that ends with a K. It's work. So, and if anybody else thought something different, we're friends. So, no, just a lot of work trying to enjoy the sunshine. Went out and hung out with some friends yesterday. We had ice cream and it was great, but the wind was blowing. And so now my allergies have kicked in. So I have one red eye and windburn. So, but that ice cream was good. So because we sat outside, social distance, you know, all that. I've had my shots because of the field I'm in, but it was great though. It was fun. So that's excited awesome. To do more stuff outside and just see people again. It's been a year of this.
Yeah.
So let's hope we're on the downslope for sure.
Yeah.
We're all done with masks. We're all done with having to be apart. So
yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think we can all agree on that. So
yeah, definitely.
So, all right, so hope everybody else has had a great weekend again. We appreciate you tuning in. Leave reviews, comments, like us, favorite us, follow us wherever you listen to your podcast at. It really helps out. We did get a review on Apple Podcasts, so thank you so much for that. You can follow us on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. And you can also send your comments, suggestions, what Erin's hobby needs to be, to our email at southernonion2@gmail.com. So, business stuff taken care of, check.
Yes.
Now, we're going to get to this little gem of a person in sarcasm. And we'll go ahead and say what we do talk about on here is adult subject matter. We do not get into the specifics of the murders themselves, the act of the murders, but we do talk about them. So listener discretion is advised. And this might also be the episode where I curse because this guy has been so infuriating.
Yeah, he really is.
So,
he's a dumpster fire of a person.
Absolutely. He gets the a-hole award for sure because one of his comments, and this is a documentary from People Investigates called My Dad's a Serial Killer. It is also on Discovery Plus, which just happened to be that way. We are not endorsed by Discovery Plus, but if they wanted to give us a subscription, we would not turn it down either.
So,
Discovery Plus. But one of the quotes he had in it, he was asked if he felt bad about what he did. And this person said, if I felt bad about it, I wouldn't have done it to start with.
Ooh.
I was like, no. Please bye. No. So.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh.
Anyway.
And when he, and I just want to say when he said it, because they showed a picture of him, he looks like an evil puppet. Maybe the Count from Sesame Street's like brother.
Right. Yeah.
Like the one that just wasn't as successful as the Count.
Right. You know? Yeah. Right. He was the older younger brother Edward, where
Yes. He looks just like the Count from Sesame Street, I swear. But he's like an evil puppet.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Here's our son, the Count, and here's our other son, the Count's brother. So
right, exactly. I think that's what they did.
Yeah. And I did steal from A League of Their Own, that movie, that quote.
We
so
love
anyway.
That movie, yes.
Oh yes. Shout out Gina Davis. Love you. Okay, So on to the topic. Edward Wayne Edwards, this trash, was born in 1933 in Akron, Ohio. He died in 2011 in Columbus, Ohio, at the age of 78, and every time I hear the word Ohio, all I can hear and think about is the Drew Carey show and that song Cleveland Rocks. So, you're welcome for putting that in your head, but every time I hear, I'm Ohio, that's all I can think about. Living in sin with a safety pin. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
I've got it out now. We will move on. So, what makes this documentary unique is, you know, the title, My Dad's a Serial Killer. This is from the daughter who really turns him in to detectives, April Belasco. And it all started where she was on her laptop one night, going through, I guess, news stories. I'm not for sure what she was looking at. And it came across where Wisconsin received all this money so that they could do cold case reviews. And here's some of the cold cases that we're reviewing. I think it was 5 cases. And the Sweetheart Killers, or the Sweetheart Killing, which was Timothy Hack and Kelly Drew in Wisconsin in 1980. That was the case that made it into that top 5. And she's scrolling through and she's like, wait a minute. I remember the Concord House where they were found. I think that was my dad. Yep. And I just cannot imagine scrolling through something and thinking, I think my dad did that. And it's murder.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's that double life. I know that parents have like a private life. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But to think your dad is a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has to be just like mind blowing.
Yeah. How do you process that?
Right. Yeah. I couldn't imagine.
I mean, yeah. Like our dad, he likes golf. I can't imagine hearing about the driving range killer and it being dad with his golf clubs, you know?
Right. I'd just be like, what?
Yeah.
Because it kind of goes to, you think you know somebody, right?
Right.
At least you're your dad. You're like home with him every day. And then, you had no idea.
Yeah. It's, ugh.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No.
I know.
I can't, I still, I've tried to wrap my head around it. I can't, and I don't want to, honestly. So.
Yeah. No, I can't either.
And, because in the end, he confesses to 5 murders. Of course, the detective who was in charge of this feels like he's done way more than 5. I believe that as well. But the 5 he confessed to, two of the groups were couples and then an individual. So we have Billy Lovaco and Judy Straub in Ohio in 77. The Sweetheart Killing of Timothy Hack and Kelly Drew, that was Wisconsin in 1980. And then his foster son, Daniel Glockner, in Ohio in 1996. So, I mean, we're spanning 20 years here, 19 years here.
Yeah.
That is like, ugh. And the family moved around a lot during that time as well. Mm-hmm. So, I feel, there's way more that he just never confessed to.
Right, I do too.
And we'll get into why he confessed to the one he was caught for, the Sweetheart Killing. And we'll get into why he confessed to those other 3. And it's like, are you serious right now? the reason why he confesses to those.
Yeah, dumpster fire alert. Yes, just so you know.
So starting off with Edward, he always kind of got into trouble. He says that in the 50s and 60s, he was kind of a drifter and that he was robbing banks and gas stations and he was seducing women, which you can look at the pictures we have on Instagram. You can have your own opinion about that. I'm saying, but anyway. So he gets caught. He escapes jail. He gets put back in. And he's in jail for like 4 or 5 years. He comes out, quote unquote, reformed. He writes a book about this. And in 1972, he has a book that is just this huge hit. It's called Metamorphosis of a Criminal. I'm an Amazon shopper, so I looked it up on Amazon. And there's only one copy left in good condition for the low price of $289.90 on Amazon. So if anybody buys it, can I borrow it? And you know, on Amazon, they're always like, oh, you might also like this. And it'll show other products that are similar to the one you're looking at. Well, the product that I got that said it's similar to that Metamorphosis of a Criminal is the Couples Quiz Book, 350 Questions to Energize Your Relationship. So,
wow.
So, not really sure what Amazon's telling me right now, but Metamorphosis of a Criminal, Energize Your Relationship, I don't think so. Anyway, just letting you know what I find in my research. But he is just, I feel bad for the kids. He had 4 marriages. Yeah. He had kids from these marriages. And they were just drug along for the ride. And they witnessed stuff. They did stuff that made these poor kids have to grow up very, very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And, because when he finally got out, he had his book. He actually became famous. He was on the game show To Tell the Truth, which they've now done a revamp of, and it's on back on TV again. He was on that. He was doing book signings and all that. And then, like everything else, 15 minutes of fame, your time's up. You're out of the spotlight. And I think that's where all of this started, that this criminal in him got enraged because, if you like, for him, he's narcissistic, ego, delusional, because he thinks what he's doing, well, I'm outsmarting everybody. Nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm smarter than everybody here. Because when he moves to a new town, who's the first person he makes friends with? The cops.
Yeah.
He becomes an informant.
Yep.
Now, granted, that is a good idea, because usually you're not going to be the first suspect. But that's what he does.
Right. And so, I think that with the success of the book and the TV show, and then that kind of waned. Mm-hmm. And I think he needs that constant attention. Mm-hmm. And so I think when he moved, it was like, oh, hey, police, I'm going to be friends with you and be an informant. He would go into bars, listen to people's conversations, and then he would tell the police. And then that resulted in people getting arrested. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're going to make enemies with that. I think people are going to hold a grudge if they figure out you're the one telling the cops.
Right.
So he ends up, they go on a camping trip, him and his family. They're in Ohio at the time. And they're on a camping trip. They come back, and their house is on fire. Mm-hmm. Huh. I mean, I can imagine coming home, and your house is in flames. And, of course, Edwards is thinking, uh-oh, I've told on all these people, and now they're getting revenge. Mm-hmm. But we find out that's kind of not what's going on here.
Right. Yeah,
There's more to this story.
Yeah, and that's why I feel bad for the children that were brought into this. And who knows what the wife Did she know anything? Did she turn the other cheek? We don't know, because they never really talk about her except for one incident, and we'll get into that in a minute. But I just wondered, did she know? Did she care? Right. Was she afraid of him? You know, like we talked about in the last episode, reasons why people stay in abusive, you know, relationships.
Right.
Did she think she was protecting the kids? I don't know. I mean, and we won't know because she's, I don't know if she's still alive or not, but, you know, I didn't see any interviews with her.
No, there wasn't that I saw either.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, with the house burning down, they decide to start moving. Mm-hmm. And we're still moving like every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running away. They're running away from these people that they think are after them. Or tattling, you know.
And then I was thinking too, I'm like, okay, I could see you moving once, maybe twice. But whoever is after you, you must be of like mafia level, because local criminals aren't going to have the resources to follow you around the country and chase you, you know, and burn your house down everywhere you go.
Right, right. Yeah. So in 1982, when they were in Pennsylvania, they go on a camping trip. It's Edwards and his children. Now, the wife, Kay, is in the hospital, supposedly sick. Mm-hmm. That's what the kids are told. They come back from the camping trip, and lo and behold, the house is burned down again. So, of course, it's like, oh, no, they've caught up to them. That's what you think has happened.
Right.
But we find out that actually Edward's sons, three of them, Edwards put them up to burning the house down for insurance money.
Yeah, I never would have guessed it was the kids doing the burning down. Yeah.
Right. I can imagine a parent being like, hey, go over there and burn our house down for money.
Right. Nope. Yeah.
That's just awful.
But then it kind of backtracks itself, and you find out the reason why the mom is in the hospital is because Edwards comes home one day, and he's mad. He's pissed off because he wanted some potato chips, and the potato chips he wanted, half of the bag, had already been eaten by the children. So he's all mad about his potato chips. The wife, Kay's trying to calm him down, so he stabs her. That's why she's in the hospital. He stabs her. Yeah. She lives, but two of the kids saw him stabbing her. So if I saw that and then somebody came up to me and said, hey, you're going to burn the house down, I'm going to burn the house down because I've already watched you stab somebody. I'm going to do whatever I need to keep myself safe.
Yeah, living in mortal fear.
And as a kid, too. I mean, good grief. That's a lot of stuff to deal with and process before, you know, 15 years old. Not that there's any good age to deal with that anyway, but...
Right.
That was sad. That made me so sad for those kids.
Yeah. Now, Edwards ends up getting arrested for the arson and spends 2 years in prison. He gets 2 years in prison for putting his three boys up to burning down the house for insurance money.
Right. And money is a motive for him a lot. And we'll talk about that once we start talking about his victims, his known victims, I should say. He is just, and I think it came to when he was, you know, the media darling, if you will, with his book and his appearances on game shows and interviews, because all that money's dried up. Is he really going to go back to a 9-to-5 job? I mean, he's never had one.
Right. And I believe he was a carpenter, correct?
I think so, yes.
He became a carpenter, so that was what he was doing after the whole book thing kind of dried up. And plus, he's able to move around a lot. Because they're moving every 6 months, he's able to just pick up and be a carpenter somewhere else.
Right, yes. Yeah, and he's probably, too, because we're talking about the 60s and 70s and some of the 80s, he's probably getting paid cash. So people aren't going to be able, you know, now you have a paper trail for everything you do. There's a trail of the IP address I'm on right now, you know, doing this. I mean, you're monitored everywhere you go.
Right.
So, yeah, I find that very interesting, and money is a huge motive for him. But again, that's his narcissistic way of, well, I deserve to have this money, and if I have to burn down a house or kill someone, that's what I will do.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is. So let's go ahead and we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about his victims, his known victims, and those situations and circumstances. And it's, again, I'm doing good holding my tongue. I'm kind of proud of myself. So, all right. So hang tight. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. I just realized something that with Edward Wayne Edwards, his initials spell U. So
yep.
how fitting is that? E-W-E. I mean, now granted, that's a sheep, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, I was about
to say. Yeah, he's a sheep and he's U. So
yeah,
take that.
He's both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so now to the serious stuff. So now we get into the murders that he has confessed to. And the first one in Ohio, it's in 77, it's Billy Lavaco and Julie Straub. And I feel bad for all of his victims that we're going to talk about here. Because, and with Billy, he was, so Edward and the family's moving all over the place. And Edward has Billy Lawrence helping around the house, doing some projects, rebuilding things. And I would think that being a killer on the run, I'm sure Edward was paranoid a lot, having to look over his shoulder. And it says or shows that Edward's now, because Billy's like 19, 20 years old, Edward's has a 15-year-old daughter, and Edward starts to think that Billy has abused or done something terrible to his daughter. Even though... nothing has been said. There is no evidence to uphold this thought that he has. So one night, Edward's in the bar. He happens to see Billy with his girlfriend, Judy, in the bar. So Edwards follows them and finds them at night. He finds them in a car. And he orders Billy out of the car with a shotgun. You know, I mean, I can't imagine. You're in there having a pleasant evening with your girlfriend, and somebody knocks on the door. You're thinking it's police telling you to move along, and it's not. It's Edward with a shotgun pointed at you.
Yeah, yeah.
So Edward says that he orders Billy out of the car, but tells Judy to stay in the car, and he won't do anything to her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm calling balderdash on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Judy being concerned because, you know, we're in the 70s here. You're not expecting this to happen in your town, that somebody's got your boyfriend at gunpoint. So she gets out and she's like, no, 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 don't do this. Well, then Billy makes a mistake and says, Edward, why are you doing this? And then Edward says, well, then I was forced to kill Judy as well. Because Billy gave my identity away. Like, whatever. Like, I believe, you know, like, we're supposed to believe he wouldn't have shot Judy anyway.
Right. I think he was going to kill them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was his way of honestly blaming it on the victim, which is teetotally wrong.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's that self-preservation that we talk about, right? Where it's like, okay, I did this, but it wasn't my fault. It was his fault for giving me away. Really?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, like, this, when I heard about this one, and I know we won't touch much on this, but, like, the Zodiac Killer, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
You know, walking up on two people, unsuspecting in a car, but the Zodiac wore a hood over his head.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Well, and there was a moment in time that, and even this cold case detective, John Cameron, believes that Edward Edwards is the Zodiac Killer. And I don't think so.
Do you see it?
I don't. I can see why they would think for a minute that he was, because he did kill two couples. But I think that's where the coincidence, the comparison ends. But
okay, yeah.
But, I mean, because I don't see Edward making cryptograms and sending them in. I think he would.
Me either.
I mean, I think, and people knew who he was because of the book and the shows he did.
True.
People know who he is, and the Zodiac Killer, to me, is still somebody, even today, who I don't think was ever out in the public eye. And that's what's made him so hard to catch.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, but he's just like, well, he gave my identity away, so she had to die. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. No. No, no, Edward. No. That's not how things work.
Exactly.
So you've got this terrible killing. And so what happens, he comes home and he's like, all right, family, we're moving.
Yep.
We're moving. And so they get in the car because they think, oh, bad person's after us, you know. And this was before he stabbed his wife. This was before the second burning down of the house. This was like the first killing. And it was just driven based on a paranoia he had. Right. So I wonder what happened in the time he got out, 1972, and the killing in 1977. What all happened, you know, outside of the book and the interviews and stuff that he did.
Right, that we just don't know about.
Right, because he never said, and we will never know, unless just some coincidence happens. So they move, and now they're in, now they're back in Wisconsin, and it's 1980. There is the Concord House, and this is like the place where all public events are held. Weddings, music, you know, whatever, birthday parties. This is where you go to have it, to have your parties. And so the sweethearts, Timothy Hack and Kelly Drew, they are high school sweethearts, but I think they're out of high school now. They're like one or 2 years removed from high school. And they are at a wedding reception, and they kind of, you know, sneak off doing what little lovebirds do, and they never are seen again alive. And it's like, what? But what was it that, you know, the, Timothy Hack's dad finds Timothy's car still at the Concord House, parked, locked, with his wallet in the car.
Right, yeah.
And now they're like, well, what's happened? And then, was it a day or so later, they find Kelly's undergarments just thrown out along the side of the road.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, gosh. You know, hearing that, I'm like, God.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, later, they're found. Their bodies are finally discovered. Timothy had been stabbed, and Kelly Drew had been strangled and assaulted.
Yes.
And it was like, are you serious? And so you're like, well, what? All right, Billy Lovaco, and I called him Lawrence earlier. I'm sorry. Billy, you see why he targeted him. You think he's assaulting your kid. You know, I don't know any parent that wouldn't defend their child if they thought that was really happening, even though there's no evidence it was. But when Edwards talks about Kelly Dunn, look, I'm getting names wrong all over the place.
Kelly Drew, yes.
Yeah, is it Kelly Drew? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's Kelly Drew and Tim Hack. Yeah.
I even got stuff written down. I can't read my own handwriting. That's good. But but Edward's only explanation is, well, I have a thing for petite brunettes.
And you know, I'm brunette.
And you're petite. Are you scared?
And I just want to say we don't like to be targeted. Yeah, no. Please don't target us, brunettes.
And
okay?
I mean, neither. Yeah.
Ted Bundy did the same thing. You know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yep. Hmm. Well, know. Luckily, I'm not petite or brunette, so I'm safe. I am safe. I eat that piece of cake, you know? I'm not going to get kidnapped.
When I saw that, I was just like, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're just having fun at a wedding reception. That was their only crime.
Yeah.
But he worked at the Concord House.
Yeah, and that's what I did not know. Their house was like right down from the Concord House. And her father, April, says, my dad also worked as the handyman at the Concord House.
Mm.
So he was there. He was there. So
and had reason to be there, so nobody is going to suspect him.
No, you're not.
And because they said there were, you know, hundreds of people at this reception because another wedding was going on, that they had to interview everybody. Now, Edwards had a cut over his nose and a black eye, which he said happened because of a hunting accident, that he had his shotgun too close to his face, and the shotgun recoiled, I guess is the right term, and hit him in the nose and caused the black eye. That was his explanation. And, hey, you're an informant. You are the handyman at the Concord House. Why would he be suspected?
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't suspect him, and he's got an alibi that most people in that area would take because there's a lot of deer hunting in that area. So
right, and squirrel hunting.
Yeah, deer and squirrel hunting. So it makes sense. You know. So that's how he. But you know, he just can't stop himself. He just can't stop and be like, oh, crap, I about got caught. I got to knock this crap off, you know.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, not Edwards. Not him. Mm-hmm. So then we get to, and I've just written it as poor Danny Blockner.
Oh, yeah, Danny. Yeah, this was bad.
So I'm going to let you talk about this one.
Okay. So Danny is a young boy who took up with the Edwards family. I think he liked Edward, and he wished that Edwards was his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually, his name is Danny Glockner, but he had it changed to Edwards. He was an adult at the time, and the judge says, well, you can't be adopted because you're too old.
Mm.
But he's like, you can change your last name to Edwards. And so that's what Danny did. Danny loved being around that family. Mm-hmm. Wanted to be a part of that family so much that he went and had his last name changed.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this so sad. You know, he wanted to be a part of this family.
Yeah. And he already had a hard enough life being a foster kid.
He did. He really, and I think that's how he felt close to Edwards because they kind of had a similar childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why Danny was very drawn to him. Danny ends up going into the military.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in basic training, but he hurts his ankle.
Mm.
And so 2 weeks before he was supposed to be discharged from the military, because, you know, he can't do it anymore, Edwards convinces him to go AWOL.
Always a good idea.
Right. You know, so he convinces him to go AWOL, and then Danny disappears. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can find Danny. They're putting up missing posters. Edwards even himself becomes obsessed with Danny's disappearance. Where is Danny?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like, okay, where is Danny? We don't know. So even April, the daughter of Edwards, even said that her and her siblings sat around the table and were like, what happened to Danny? What do you think happened to Danny?
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of figured out who killed Danny because they remember their mom being stabbed and, you know, about the chips and all these things. So they start piecing things together and they start thinking, maybe dad has had something to do with this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, Edwards does confess to this murder.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he took Danny out into like a remote location out in the woods and he shot him in the back of the head. He asked him to get him a cigarette. Danny bends over to get a cigarette out of the bag. And he shoots him in the back of the head.
Mm.
Now, what we later find out is that the reason why did Edwards kill his son, so to speak,
right,
was because He convinced him, Danny Boy, they call him Danny Boy Edwards, but it's Danny Boy. Mm-hmm. He convinced Danny to sign over a $250,000 life insurance policy to Edwards. So yeah. Danny signs it over, and then magically, Danny's killed.
Right. Yeah.
And who benefits from it is Edwards.
Yeah, exactly. And how many Dateline episodes have we watched that... I can't think of the guy's name, but he signed over a life insurance policy that bumped it from $200,000 to $750,000, right. And right. He was dead the next right. week. I mean, it's like, stop signing life insurance policies, people. Take it out and don't tell anybody, because that puts a mark on you, evidently.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And it's, you know, this was a kid that looked up to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he took advantage, yeah.
He just took total advantage of this poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was sad because he had hard enough life. Here he thought Edwards was taking him under his wing and like, man, I found my family. I found where I belong. Mm-hmm. Only to get murdered by who you thought was there to protect you.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible.
We told you this was a dumpster fire guy.
Yeah, right?
A walking dumpster fire. Yeah. Trust me, yes.
And then let me repeat the quote that he said, that Edward said, if I felt that bad about it, I wouldn't have done it to start with. A-hole award. He's crap.
And So
in comes John Cameron, and he is a cold case detective, and he signs on with Wisconsin to take kind of ownership of these five cold cases that they have. And he tracks Edwards down to Kentucky. And this is after talking with the daughter. So he finds Edwards. Edwards is still with his wife, Kay, who he stabbed.
Yes.
And I can't imagine whatever else Kay went through in the time. So we're talking 30 years later. He is now in his 70s. So, John Cameron finds him, talks with him, and Edwards, of course, acts like he can't remember anything. He's like, hey, you remember the Concord House? And he's like, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that place. I'm like, dude, you live down from it. You work there. You killed there. You know the place. You know?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I could never be a law enforcement because I would be yelling at them the entire time.
Right.
And it has audio, a little bit of audio from that interview. And you know, he's so calm, the detective is. And he's like, hey, I need to, you know, before we go, because we're from Wisconsin, you know, can I get some of your DNA, you know, just to clear you then? And Edwards takes the, well, I don't know about that. I don't like people having my DNA or whatever crap. Well, Cameron's one step ahead. And he has already gotten an order, a court order, for Edward's DNA. So, once he shows that court order, he's like, well, actually, you have to give me your DNA. And it's just a cheek swab. And Edwards is like, all right, fine. So, lo and behold, they get it. And they process his cheek swab. And the DNA's found to match exactly on Kelly Drew's clothing that was found, you know. So he did it, and that's what gets him. That's what finally in his 70s gets him. So who knows what he's been doing since 96,
right?
When he's murdered Danny Boy, to, you know what, 2000. I didn't write the year down of when he got caught. 2000, was it 8?
I believe it was 2008, yes.
Something like, but I mean, it's been a while. It's been a hot minute. So, who knows? But it's interesting, though, because when he's found and how he is described he's described as having breathing problems. He is on oxygen and has bad diabetes. Mm-hmm. Now, I work in healthcare, and there's no good diabetes. It's all bad.
Yeah, it's all bad diabetes.
Take your medicine, regulate your diet, do what your doctor tells you if you have diabetes. But, you know, it's like he has bad. So, obviously, he is in poor health. He is in bad health. And now he is being incarcerated for these murders. Just the sweetheart killing, just for Timothy and Kelly. Now, you know, the truth is coming out. It's catching up with him. So now Edwards all of a sudden wants to talk. And why does he want to talk, Aaron?
Because he wants the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wants it.
Yes. And in Wisconsin, back when the sweetheart murders were committed, they didn't have the death penalty. Nope. So he's not going to get the death penalty.
And he's not a happy boy.
Yep. So what does he do? He starts confessing.
Yep. He's right? Like, wait, but check this out.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he writes a letter to authorities in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And he confesses to the Billy Lavaco Judy case. Strom.
Yeah. Yep.
But Erica, what happens?
Well, the years that those murders took place, there is no death penalty.
Oh, no.
0-2 there, Edwards. 0-2.
Yep, yep. So, he tries again, right?
Yep.
Because maybe third time's a charm here.
Right.
And he confesses to Danny Boy Edwards' killing.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it sticks. This time yes. he fishes his wish. And he gets the death penalty for Danny Boy's killing.
Yes, he does. And he's so happy about it. It even yes. shows him in court, and they're like, we can convict you and condemn you to death for this killing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's like, all right, cool. I mean, no emotion. But then the universe, karma, always has a way of working things out.
It does.
And Edwards actually dies of natural causes in prison 1 month before his execution date.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm like,
karma.
Still
karma.
Didn't get what you want. But to me, anytime I see a killer asking for the death penalty, I always wonder, why do you want the death penalty? Are you trying to escape the truth of what you've done? Do you actually feel shame and are like, no, I should be put to death for what I did? Or what I was thinking, does he think that's the ultimate hero to himself? Let me be injected and die for these things because look, now I'm getting killed too. I don't know. I find it just so odd because if that's what you want, there's other ways to achieve that without having to murder people. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and it makes me wonder too, if he had gotten the death penalty with the sweetheart killings, would he have confessed to Billy and Judy's and Danny Boy's? Or those were cases that would still be unsolved today, maybe.
Yeah, I think they would still be unsolved because I think he's like a lot of them, and Charles Manson comes to mind. And possibly Ted Bundy, that they, and maybe Jeffrey Dahmer, that they like, that they know things that nobody else does.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's some cutesy little game with them. And they're like, I know.
Yeah.
You know, and they sit there with that Cheshire cat smile, and you just want to throat punch them, but you can't because it's not legal. But you know they know things, and you'll never know. And that's what they love, I think, is just, you might have gotten me on this one, but I've got 10 others or however many that you'll never know about.
And I think they use it for bargaining because we see this in this case. It was a bargaining of, I'm going to tell you, but in exchange, I want the death penalty, but he just wasn't getting what he wanted. So what did he do? He just kept talking.
Right.
And, you know, and I know that we'll do a Ted Bundy case one day, but Ted Bundy did the same thing. You know, he was like, hey, I'll keep talking as long as you keep staying my execution.
Right.
So they use it as a bargaining chip. It's they call it, what is it, bones for time?
I think so,
And I think that's what we see with Ted Bundy, and I think that's what Edwards was trying to do it in the reverse of, I'll confess, but I want you to kill me.
Right, yeah. As where some of them do everything to avoid it.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
Like
they
Ted, really like do. You said, like Ted Bundy, I'll tell you all this stuff, just don't kill me. But then you got, you know, Luscious Edwards over here, saying, I'll find one of these murders I've done that'll get me the death penalty.
Yeah. And I think he just didn't want to do the time. I think he would rather just be dead and be done than do the time.
Yeah. Didn't want to suffer for what he did.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, so it was, I didn't, coming into this, I did not know much about him, honestly.
I didn't either.
So, this has opened my eyes to a new one. So, thanks again to Chelsea for suggesting this topic. Hope you've enjoyed listening to it, Chelsea. So how interesting. So, now we're like, well, what do we want to do next? Because this is, you know, new. So, we, Aaron and I actually went to Alcatraz East in Pigeon Forge, or Pigeon Forge, as I've heard it pronounced as well.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, they were from Michigan. I'll never forget it. But in Pigeon Forge, we went through it. We'll have some, we have stories from there, what we've seen. These are, again, this is not anybody that is endorsed by us or that, you know, we're advertising for. This is just what we've done. And it's, if you like true crime, if you like all those things, it's got forensics and bank robberies and the mob and it's all this stuff. And we'll talk about it in our next episode because spring breaks, hopefully travel can open up safely soon. And this might be a place you want to go and check out. It is well worth it.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, Erica was in a lineup. I'm just saying.
I was. And I got picked, too. I still...
Yes, you did.
I'm still proclaiming my innocence. I didn't do whatever it was. Because I'm tired. I have no motivation.
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. So I think we were there, what, 3 or 4 hours? And we still were just like, I want to stay longer. We couldn't. We had to go eat. We were about to
Stomachs were talking.
It was awesome.
It was a great time. So kind of a glimpse into that and what you can expect there. And we encourage everybody to go because it was just, it's great. It's it is actually a family thing to go do.
It is.
It is. So it wasn't that far from me. It was a bit of a ways away for Aaron. So we just met there and had a good time. So then after Alcatraz, we'll get into the wonder that is Ted Bundy. And Mr. Ted and all of that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And also, we actually have a mascot now.
We do.
And it's not an onion.
No, it's not.
This is something that I have had since 1994. Mm-hmm. So it's ancient. And it was given to me by Aaron.
Yes.
And Aaron in high school was involved in a lot of choral things. I played sports. Aaron did the choral thing. So she goes on a trip. And she brings me back a gift. Because every time we went somewhere separately, we would try to bring a little something back for the other.
Right.
Right? So Aaron thoughtfully, can you sense it in my voice, got me this gift, and I named it appropriately, Disappointment. So, go out to our Instagram page, and you will see Disappointment. If you've never seen Disappointment in a physical form, this is it.
Yeah.
So,
and you won't be disappointed.
And you
will,
Oh God.
But thank you.
We're here every Monday. So we have a mascot now, Disappointment. So go out there, take a look. This is what Aaron thought she should bring back to me. And I'm just gonna say it probably took her 2 seconds to decide it. But
right, and she still has it, guys. She obviously loves it.
I took it to choir concerts that you had even after. I would sit in the front row with Disappointment. Yep. It was great. Good stuff.
It was awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you found some good information, that you were entertained. We are loving doing this. We're having fun. If you have a comment or suggestion, please reach out to us through Instagram, through email. Again, that's southernonion2@gmail.com. Website is hopefully going to be done soon. But I'm also going to make a Twitter. So we will be on the tweet too. coming up probably Monday or Tuesday of this week. So thank you again for everything. Thank you for the support and the listening and the encouragement. We really, really appreciate it. Erin, yes. I guess I'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Bye, everybody.
See you later. Bye. Thank you.